Okay, well, I know that was a little twang, as someone said it, but it's a good song, an old gospel song that I like, and I know a man who can, because I felt it was fitting to the message we're going to get into tonight, because we all know a man who can. You know, I mean, anybody's facing anything or whatever it is in their life, we know who to go to. Jesus is the one and the only one. Jesus can take care of any pains, any hurts, any cures, whatever problems. I mean, you name it, that he did it. He's done it for us, and it's still being done even till this day. So, you know, he is good. I don't know what happened to poor Beth. I did see her on Facebook, but apparently, you know, she usually tells me she can't make it. So I don't know. You know, maybe she's trapped on the road. They got snow up there. At least I know you got snow going on up there. And yeah, we hit 24 day before yesterday, way down here in South Louisiana, which, brr, man, that was cold. But hey, it's Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. I'm really excited to see you again. I'm excited to bring the message to you and another event that just taking place that, we, yes, folks, have our chat room back up and running. Cora and Dero, our dear friend, told me about this site. He told me, you know, how to sign up to it. And he said it was free. It didn't cost a dime. Didn't cost nothing except for a little time. I'm impressed with it. So, you know, some of the folks, y'all been asking about another site. So now it's up and running. So, hey, you know what? Hopefully we can reach out to people again. We can get them to come back. You know, if you still know some by emails, whatever, you know, get them to join. I got that link posted in Facebook. You know, copy the link, send the link out to people, let them come and join. You know, hopefully we can make it into something. But I'm really pumped up about that because we got a chat room again. And I was ministering to a fellow in there this morning. He's really hurting. He's dealing with a lot of issues. So, you know, it was nice to try to show someone, hey, I know someone who can. Regardless of what we're facing, yeah, it is turmoil. It is problems. And that's why, you know, I was finishing up on his message this morning while I was trying to talk to him. So that's why I was able to relate to him. And, you know, and he was having a hard time with trust issues. And I told him, I said, young man, I said, look, we all been there. We're all having problems. We all went through that road. We went down that path. We had those issues. But I'm trying to help you understand where the majority of these feelings is coming from, because you're allowing Satan to use those things against you in your mind. But I'm going to show you that you need to go to Jesus and go to the Word of God, because the Word of God can do what it says. There is no ifs, there is no buts, there's no doubts, folks. You know, the Word is the Word, and the Word does what it says it's going to do, and we have to believe in that and know that's the truth, because, again, Jesus used the Word against the enemy, and that's what we need to do, too, when things like that hits us. And look, I'm speaking here on truth, because I go through a lot of things, and I battle a lot of spiritual warfare, and I know where I got to go to. I got to go to the man who can. So this is why I'm led this direction tonight. And we're going to talk about trust. That big boo-boo word, like, oh, no, you didn't. And some folks have a big issue with trust. When you try to talk to them and tell them, look, you got to trust the Lord. You got to trust God. You got to trust what he says he's going to do. And they just seem like they can't not get past trust. And it hurts, you know, when I see them, and I know we all deal with things, but trust is a big thing for us. It really is. And what is it? Well, we need to look at it. What is trust? And why is it so important in our Christian walk? Why is it so important in our Christian walk? And throughout the Bible, as we read the Word, and when we are reading and studying His Word, we see the word trust mentioned a lot. And sometimes when seeing or hearing that word, we may not give this word much of a thought as to why we're told to trust God. And some examples are, in which I had to look them up, but some examples about trust are this. We are told to trust Him in all of His ways. Y'all have read that. I know y'all have. Trust Him in any circumstances we're facing. And sometimes it's a tad hard to trust when it all seems to be coming apart, doesn't it? That's a tad hard to trust when everything in your life seems like it's just falling apart. We are told to trust Him when faced with hard times in life, or when having bouts of loneliness, or also we are told to trust Him during those little quiet times in life. And folks, the list just goes on. I mean, that's just a few passages that I just kind of hit on, but there's a lot. And yes, many of us have experienced difficulties that were quite devastating to us at one time. In some cases, we came to understand why God permitted them. We can see how we grew from the experience, or how new opportunities were open to us that, while not our preference at the time, were in fact best. In other cases, however, what we went through still made little sense to us. It did. Somehow or another, you knew. It made sense to you. Or after you went through it, you thought about it, and you know what? That made a lot of sense to me. It really did. But if we have learned to trust God, we can be at peace with His apparent no to our desired outcome. Really? See, folks, the reason why I'm saying that, trust says it is well with my soul. Which brings us back to the main question. Why is it so important to trust God? Why? You probably got some thoughts running in your head thinking, okay, I think I know the answer to that, why it's so important. And you may be right. But when I thought about this, and I thought about the main reason, why is it so important for you and I to trust God? Well, this is how I looked at it. When we accepted Jesus, we gave up doing things our way. At least I kind of hit on that a little bit about control. But when we accepted Jesus, we gave up doing things our way and trust that He is going to work things out for our ultimate goal. The moment may not always feel good. It may not even look good. It may not even look like there's a way for it to work out. But when we surrender our wants, fears, and concerns to Him, it demonstrates our complete trust in Him. And He will never let us down. In fact, and I'm basing this on facts, I'm basing this on the Word of God. In fact, many times the Bible, the Word of God, links the idea of trust with faith. It links the idea of trust with faith. So those of you who have your Bibles or reading scriptures for tonight, it's going to be in Psalms chapter 37, verse 7. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7, and it will be posted. I know my dear friend Lisa, she loves doing this. And it says this, Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, we ask of you, I know sometimes this is a hard subject to grasp. Sometimes this is difficult whenever we are told to trust you. And sometimes when we don't see the answers and we're worried about things and it kind of gets to us and we wonder, oh Lord, I don't know how this is going to become. But yet, you know, according to your words, we constantly are told to trust. And I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes it was difficult with me. So I ask of you to give us the wisdom to see what trust means. I ask of you to speak to our hearts as this message is presented tonight. I ask of you to give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom we need when we are going about every day into that world. We need to be more mindful of the things of heaven and less of ourselves. Father, we want to thank you for being with us tonight. I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. As I always say, they could have took time, went somewhere else, but they decided to come here tonight to listen to this message. So I ask of you to bless them for that. Watch over them, take care of them, lift them up, show them what they need to see, and help them in their hour of need. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for what he done for us on the cross. He is the one who can, and he is the one that did. Thank you for that love. Thank you for everything. Thank you for calling me a friend. And I'm just your faithful servant to do whatever I can do for you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. I gotta grab some water, as always. Anyway, I titled this message tonight, and I kind of think y'all got the hint. Well, okay, I think I know where Jim's message is. You know, I did post it on Facebook. But the message tonight is trust in the Lord. And as I kind of hit on a little bit most of my opening statement, we are often told to trust in God. And many of us, in a way, has counseled others who are anxious or downcast to do so. And we use that scripture sometimes, you know, but what does it really mean? And if you even read in that chapter 37, I mean, read the whole thing. There's a lot of good things in there to help us with the trust issue. But when we look at it, we ask ourselves, what does it really mean? And in some cases, when people give this counsel from this passage, and this is what they mean when they say this, when they tell someone this, oh, don't worry. God will eventually give you what you want. God will come around to your way of thinking at some point. Hang in there and wait for God to answer your way. He'll take care of the things in a way that pleases you. Now, I'm not going to mention the pastor's name, but he smiles a lot. He tries to tell people that same thing. Folks, this is not trust. That's not trust. Not what I just said. To trust is to move to the stable conviction that whatever God decides to do is the right thing. It means being at peace with what he does, what he decides. It is to accept that God often acts in paradoxical ways, in ways that are different from or even contrary to our notions of what is best. God often permits evil for some greater good, even if this greater good is hidden from us. So in this message tonight, we're going to look at what happens when we trust in the Lord. Point one. The first thing that happens when we trust God, we seek to do good. We seek to do good. And when you look at Psalms chapter 34, verse 14, it says this, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And what this passage means to us, that while we are abandoning sin once and for all, doing good as God gives us the strength and the opportunity, and being a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. This is why we must trust in the Lord and not of ourselves, because Christians don't seek peace at any price. For peace depends on purity, and purity only comes from the power and the help of the Holy Spirit himself and not of the flesh. In the last words, when you look at that passage, we see the word pursue. It means that we have to work at it, but with the help of the Lord. We work at it in our own way. Guess what? It won't happen. You have to pursue by purity, trusting in the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. Make it what we should be doing. We follow after it. Yes, we do. We make it an object of desire and put forth constant efforts to live in peace with all human beings, just as Jesus showed us how to do so. Jesus did it. We mirror ourselves after him. We should be doing it. Me and my friend Corandiro, we was talking a little bit about this morning. Every fiber of your being should be the exact mirror image of Jesus himself. And if we're not portraying Jesus as we should be, we got an issue. Or something needs to change. Or we need to start trusting in something other than what we're doing. There can be no doubt that this inappropriate advice to one who wishes to lengthen out his days when trusting in the Lord. There can be no doubt. If you're going to trust in God, it better be 100%. It better be. So the second thing, the second point here tonight, the second thing happens when we trust God. We commit our lives to him. That's right. That's the second thing happens when we trust God. We commit our lives to him. John chapter 18, verse 12 says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Wow. This is where real trust comes into play in your life. And trusting in the Lord, because a personal relationship with Jesus is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. It's unlike any relationship. If you go into eternity without this relationship, and many folks don't like to hear this, but if you go into eternity without this relationship, guess what? You will spend eternity apart from him in hell. And how awful would that be? It's horrifying to even think about it. It's horrifying. You see, the scriptures are clear that it is impossible for someone to place their trust, faith in God and not have their desires and passions towards life changed. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because if you fully trust God, your desires, your passions, everything about your existence will change. If it's genuine. If it's not, that desire is something else. It's something else. See, folks, it's more than believing in God's existence. You must surrender to Him. You must trust in Him. You must repent of your sins, dying daily. When you do so, you're committing your life to Him and you're allowing Him to transform you inside outward. That's real trust in His power to do so. The third point for tonight. The third thing that happens when we trust God, we delight in Him. Isn't that wonderful? We delight in Him. How we know this? Very easy. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 says this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Woo-hoo! I like that. But as the game show sound would do, bang! Be careful how you think about that passage. You see, folks, when I first read that, when I first came to God, I'm filling you in on a little secret of mine. In my early walk with the Lord, I used to get so upset and mad and agitated at Him when God did not give me what I wanted and thought I needed. Ooh, I was angry a lot. Because I would challenge Him in this scripture. God, You said right there. There it is in Your words, not mine. You should give me the desires of my heart. So why ain't it happening, Captain? Oh, and I got angry. Oh, I got mad. Oh, I got frustrated and agitated. Many times when I wanted something so badly, I kept going to that scripture. Man, when I wanted something to change in my life, I kept going to that scripture. When I was facing trouble, I kept going to that scripture. And every time I throw that back in God's face, where are You in this? Where? You said it, Lord. Now how come it ain't happening? In fact, what I eventually discovered was that what God gave me may not have been what I wanted, but it was always certainly turned out to be what I needed. You got that? God gave me what God may not have gave me what I wanted, but He certainly turned out to be what I needed. Now, as I grew into the Lord, as I started getting spiritual maturity, and I grew into the Lord and I started understanding things, I have seen this passage misquoted badly so many times in so many sermons and from so-called super mega church preachers saying, if you just trust in God, then all of your desires will be met and come true, because it's from your heart. God will give you all of the desires of your heart. You just have to have faith to believe in that. What a load of hogwash. I wanted a Lamborghini. Let's see, I'm looking out the window right now. Let's see. Do I see a Lamborghini out there? Nah. I see a little blue Volkswagen Bug. I wanted a big mansion with 10 rooms. Let's see what I'm looking at. A trailer with 3 bedrooms. I wanted to eat the biggest steaks and everything night after night and all that stuff. What I got in my freezer? TV dinners and fish sticks. I seen something months ago. A huge, huge, man, it looked like a big 80-screen TV. A little 55 is sufficient for me. You see what I'm saying? See where I'm going with this? I'm glad that God does not give me what I really desire. Because I think, I tell you what, I would be in a lot of trouble. Ooh, I would be in a lot of trouble. And since it is human nature to battle against self-worship, we are tempted to focus on the latter half of this verse, which seems to promise that God will give us whatever our little hearts desire. But realizing the content of Psalms 37:4 will help us better comprehend what it means to delight in the Lord. When you start to fully understand what the Word of God says, you start to delight in the Lord, and your desires are met. Taking delight in the Lord means that our hearts are truly have found peace and fulfillment in Him. If we truly find satisfaction and worth in Christ, Scripture says He will give us the longings of our hearts. Now again, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to preach none of this faith and prosperity stuff. Does that mean if I go to church every Sunday, will God give us a new Rolls Royce? If y'all go to church every Sunday, will He give you the most expensive car there is today? Thank you. No, He won't. No, He won't. See, the idea behind this verse and others like it is that when we truly trust in the Lord, then we rejoice or delight in the eternal things of God. And when we do so, so then our desires will change to parallel His and we will never go unfilled. Folks, you have delight in God when you trusted in God. The fourth point for tonight. And I had to learn a lesson in this one. Just not bad enough I had to learn a lesson in the third point. But this one here, He had to use that to teach me a lot of lessons. And I think you may agree with it. The fourth thing that happens when we trust God, we exercise a patient spirit. Oh, no, you didn't. Really, Jim? Oh, yes, I did. When we trust God, we exercise a patient spirit. Now, I will rat myself out. If my wife was standing right here right now, she'll tell you the same thing. Well, when you was in Walmart last month, when there was only two cash registers open, you sure didn't exercise no patient spirit then, and I'm guilty of it. But when we trust God, we should, because look what Galatians chapter 5, and this is a long-winded one, folks. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. But the spirit of the fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I had to pause on that one. I think you can relate to this. We don't see much patience in the world today. Not even in church. We don't. My heart was heavy thinking about that. I've been giving thought to that for the last couple of weeks. Turn on the TV, the radio, the internet, your browsers, phone notices, and you see there's not much patience in the world today. And sadly, I'm seeing this in churches today too. And maybe part of the reason is that we live in our fast-paced, want-it-now culture. Or as another pastor friend of mine once said, we live in what's called a microwave society. 2 seconds, dang, I want it now. And he used to have another saying, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. I used to laugh at that because I think he used to pick at me on that. But that's what the world is today. Sadly, Christians have everything we need to be patient because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, longing to display His character to those around us. We need to be patient, folks. We need to be patient. And did you know it? I was tested by that this morning. Just opened up the chat room. This poor fella comes in, a total mess. Very angry, mad, upset, rambling on. And I can see my mind reverting back to the old ways. Ban him. Kick him out. He won't settle down. I'm not putting up with his craziness and his nonsense and his whining and his carrying on. Ban him. But I sat here with my cup of coffee. Let him type what he wanted to type. And when he allowed me to speak, I spoke. And I explained to that young man, I know what it feels like. I know what you're going through. And before you say, no, you don't, yes, I have. I've been through depressions, hardships, financial hurts. I understand what you're going through. And it's hard. And that taught me, I grew a little bit in my patience. Because patient people put up with circumstances and other people, even when severely tried. Patient people display endurance, long-suffering, and the biggest word of all, perseverance. The New Testament also specifically connects patience with sharing the gospel. And that's what happened this morning. God is patient as he waits for those who are lost to come to him. He knows who will, and he knows who will not, but he waits. And he calls his people to be patient, meaning us, as we extend the offer of salvation in Christ to others, just like that gentleman this morning. When we trust in the Lord, we exhibit the fruit of his Holy Spirit, and this is the real evidence that all people recognize in us as we show them what a true, real, born-again Christian really is all about. Because when we are real in Christ and not of the flesh, and trusting in him, and trusting in all that he can do, then we must show them a patient spirit when dealing with the lost or hurting people. That, my friends, is real trust. And trusting in the one who can do all things. Just like that song I played, I know a man who can. I know a man who can. So in closing, I'll leave y'all with this. Some people think that believing in God does entitle them to a problem-free life. And if they have problems, that must mean they don't have enough faith or something. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible contradicts that. Jesus himself said to us, his words, in this world, you will have trouble. And a lot of the most godly characters in the Bible, when you read it and study it, they suffered tremendously. Oh, they suffered. God did perform many miracles, but he did not miraculously protect all of his people from everything. In contrast to what many people think, God doesn't owe you an explanation when life is painful and confusing. When bad things happen, really, really bad things, many of us are tempted to say or ask, why? That's the first thing that almost comes to our mind. Why? And some of us get a kind of an answer. Some of us do. And many of us never do. No matter what happens, you will turn to him by trusting in him instead of turning away. If I had my camera going, you'd see me raising my hand, because plenty of times, folks, I was tempted to turn away. I was tempted to turn away a lot in my walk with the Lord, and a thought still comes at me, but I gained a little spiritual maturity to understand where it's coming from. So whatever happens to you, turn to him. Trust in him instead of turning away. That's it. That's as far as I understand what it means to trust in God. That's what I know. Nothing fancy about it. No super duper formula. No best selling book out there. That's how I know. You see, trusting God doesn't mean thinking that he eventually will give me what I want. Trusting in God means being at peace with whatever he wants. Knowing that he wants it, it is enough for me. There is peace, and it is well with my soul. To trust God Folks, it's all about surrender. It's all about surrender. Total, unconditional surrender. Not 99.96%, not 99.5%, whatever. To trust in Him is 100%. All or nothing. In our times of crisis, we pray fervently. Well, we do. Perhaps even at times we're debating with God, as Job did, that God might alter the circumstances, all the while remembering, folks, that the prayer is an act of trust in God. It's not a bargaining chip. It's not saying, well, you need to do this or you need to do that, or if you do this, you do that, or if you do this, I'll do that. No. He knows what you're already going to say before you say it, but no, folks, do not bargain with Him. I tried. I've been there. I've done that. He didn't get me nothing. But I come to grips lately. Okay, Lord, I don't understand why. I don't know why. Oh, trusting is so hard. It's difficult. Oh, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. Spiritually attacked. Down in the dumps. Why? Why? You see, that's where I'm going wrong. I should be saying, okay, God, I trust in You. You know what You're doing. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not the one that's in control. You are. But when God's will reveals that we must pass through the crisis, we learn to surrender our will as an act of trust as well. Trust in God involves acceptance and an embrace of God's will. And one thing I think we all here tonight can agree with is trusting God isn't just a one-time thing. Every time when we are faced with something in our Christian walk, it's what I call a trust test. Or is there another phrase out there? Pop quiz, hot shot. Like when you used to go to class, teacher, you know, you wouldn't inspect it. You're sitting there in the classroom, you're thinking you're going to coast through that class. Well, pop quiz today. And you hear a lot of people, I'm not ready for this. Really? Every time we are faced with something, it's a trust test. And sometimes we usually fail, by the way. Sometimes we always pass. But the bottom line here is, if you get anything out of this message, the bottom line here tonight is to trust Him with everything involves total, unconditional surrender to God's will. In the end, that's up to you. That's up to you. You must make a decision. You have to choose. You got to make up your mind. You must choose to trust God or trust faith. I'm not talking faith, F-A-T-E, not F-A-R-T-H. You must trust faith or fate, or trust only in yourself to take care of the issue. Which one? What do? You decide which one are you going to do. Your choice. Amen. Let's pray.